Gilchrist moves over behind Kemp. He goes back to pass again. Runs out to the right.
Still on his feet. Now throws. It's good to Lofton. At the 10. At the 5. Touchdown! Touchdown!
The John Murphy Show is on the air.
He is sacked. He is brought down by Kiko Alonso. And there's your ball game.
That's game time right there. That's game time right there.
The John Murphy Show, presented by NOCO.
Good evening, everybody, and welcome to the greatest show in sports.
10-yard line, 5, into the end zone. Touchdown, Leonis, my man!
Hear all the action, all the excitement of Buffalo Bills football, right here on
The John Murphy Show.
The John Murphy Show, presented by NOCO, supplying natural gas and electricity to thousands of homes and businesses across Western New York. Big show tonight, a couple of nights before we hit training camp. We'll sit down with the newest Bills linebacker, Stevenson Sylvester, to talk about his years with the Steelers and coming to the Buffalo Bills. Michelle Zumwalt joins us at 7:30. She's the producer of the Bills' 2013 highlight film. We'll talk with her about that. Clark Judge, longtime NFL writer, now hosting a radio show, the Talk of Fame Radio Network. He'll join us at 8, and we'll find out what's going on at St. John Fisher College as they prepare for Bills training camp.
This place is pandemonium. At the 10, at the 5, heads to the end zone. Touchdown, C.J. Spiller.
Live from One Bills Drive, this is the John Murphy Show, presented by NOCO on Buffalo Bills Radio.
Well, good evening. Welcome. You know, I mentioned to, I guess, my wife last night about how you can tell that the NFL is waking up from its late June, early July slumber. There's just stuff going on now, which is perfect for our show. We got stuff going on our show. Got a jam-packed show tonight and a lot to talk about. Two nights before to go to training camp. There's stuff going on. It wasn't that way last week or really the week before last. Or even 3 weeks ago when we were here trying to do radio shows. There was nothing going on. But this building at One Bills Drive came alive a little bit today with some rookies on hand, some quarterbacks and some first-year players, some other selected players. There are roster moves to talk about today, and we are 2 days away from our first show at St. John Fisher College for the year. Good evening. Welcome. John Murphy Show on the air tonight until 9 o'clock tonight. We come to you live from One Bills Drive from our broadcast studio, and two nights from tonight, we'll be out there at St. John Fisher College. I've already checked the weather. We're good for Friday. Maybe over the weekend, not so good, but it looks like we're good for Friday. There's the first practice coming up Sunday night. There's a forecast for a little bit of rain on Sunday, but we'll see how that works out. But for Friday, should be a great day. It's always kind of a tedious day as we await players to check in and talk to them, and everybody's optimistic, but it'll be good for us to get out there and get set up and start doing our radio show at St. John Fisher College on Friday night. 15th year for the Bills at Fisher. Can you believe that? Yeah, the drive is a pain in the neck, but if you get past the drive, there's a lot to like about training camp. I just talked with Bulldog about that a moment ago. Well, tonight on the show, we want to talk about a variety of things, and we're kind of all over the map with our guest lineup. The Bills have a new linebacker, and we're going to talk with him in a second. Stevenson Sylvester going to join us in studio, just signed a contract today. And the Bills have some roster moves. We'll talk about those in a second as well. Also tonight, the Buffalo Bills 2013 highlight film. This Is Our Time is the name of the film. Talks about last season and the transition that's upcoming with new ownership on the way. The producer of that film, Michelle Zumwalt, will join us at 7:30 tonight, and it airs at 8 o'clock on NFL Network. Our friend Clark Judge is going to be with us here at 8 o'clock, and that's where we're going to kind of work some phones off of. Clark Judge has been covering the NFL for decades. I mean, he's been around forever, more than 30 years. Covered the Colts back in Baltimore, covered the San Diego Chargers for a while, the San Francisco 49ers. He's part of a new venture called Talk of Fame Sports Network. It's a weekly radio program. Clark Judge is one of the hosts, along with Rick Gosselin, longtime sports writer in Dallas, and Ron Borges, longtime sports writer in Boston. These guys, all three of them, are voters for the Pro Football Hall of Fame. They've all three of them been around pro football for a long time. We're going to talk with Clark about his new venture, about the upcoming season, and about the Pro Football Hall of Fame. And we want to engage our listeners in this as well. As you know, we've talked about this a lot. We're just a couple of weeks away from Andre Reed being inducted into the Pro Football Hall of Fame. Who's next for the Buffalo Bills in the Pro Football Hall of Fame? We'll put that question to Clark Judge. Maybe there is not a good answer, but I think there's enough candidates anyway to provoke some discussion. Who would be next on your list from the Buffalo Bills, representing the Buffalo Bills for the Pro Football Hall of Fame? Give us a call. Let us know what you think. The phone lines are open right now. 803-0550 is the number. Toll free 1-888-550-2550. You can reach us on Twitter at John Murphy Show and interact that way. We've got a few minutes here, about 10 minutes before we welcome in the new linebacker, Stevenson Sylvester into the studio here. So if you're going to weigh in on this, think about it and call us up. Who would be next in your mind from the Buffalo Bills, representing the Bills for the Pro Football Hall of Fame? Who would it be? I have some thoughts, and this name comes up mostly because I've heard his former teammates say it. Kent Hull, the late Kent Hull, who passed away almost 3 years ago. Three-time Pro Bowl performer, arguably one of the most important key factors in the Bills' no-huddle offense of the 1990s. Kent Hull, I would think, would deserve some consideration. Fred Smirlis, still out there for Pro Football Hall of Fame consideration, a five-time Pro Bowler. There are those, including my friend Vic Carucci, who will tell you that Fred Smirlis sort of reinvented the nose tackle position in the National Football League with his prototype size and strength, that he was the model. He was the guy that other teams wanted to get, a Fred Smirlis type at nose tackle. Maybe he belongs in the Pro Football Hall of Fame. He certainly would deserve some consideration, I would think, as we talk about who's next from the Buffalo Bills for the Pro Football Hall of Fame. Steve Tasker's name has been mentioned. He's been on the finalists a couple of times over the years. I don't think he made it to the final cut of finalists this past year, but you got to think about seven Pro Bowls for Steve Tasker, another player who may have redefined his position as a special teams ace and the premier special teams player of really more than a decade, seven Pro Bowl appearances. Steve Tasker, I would think, has received some Pro Football Hall of Fame consideration and might be the next Buffalo Bill in the Pro Football Hall of Fame. Certainly the addition of Ray Guy as a punter this year might open some doors and open some eyes among the electors as to the role of special teamers in the Pro Football Hall of Fame. And my money, though, on the next representative of the Buffalo Bills in the Pro Football Hall of Fame, not a player. It would be Bill Polian. You were going to say Bill Polian, Jay?
Well, no, I knew you were going to guess Bill Polian. So that's two nights in a row that I've cut you off.
Well, good. That means we're thinking along the same lines. Yeah, Bill Polian, I think. I think he's probably, if I were laying odds, he's probably the next best bet for the next Buffalo representative in the Pro Football Hall of Fame. Obviously, his resume bolstered by what he did with the Indianapolis Colts. Obviously, what he did with the Carolina Panthers, a total startup there. And especially by what he did in the reclamation project here with the Buffalo Bills starting in 1986-87. I think Bill Polian is going to be a Pro Football Hall of Famer, a multiple winner of the Executive of the Year in the NFL, a deserving candidate. He's, as an aside, he is outstanding, I believe, in his broadcast work on ESPN and on SiriusXM NFL Radio, provides perspective and strong opinions and common sense to much of the stuff that you hear out there. But I think Bill Polian, to me, is the likeliest candidate to be the next representative of the Buffalo Bills in the Pro Football Hall of Fame. Now, it may take a while, maybe not, maybe a couple of years. What's he been out of the Colts now for two? So maybe a couple more years before he gets in. Maybe people waiting to see if he does get back into the game. He probably will not. But I think Bill Polian is going to be the next representative of the Buffalo Bills in the Pro Football Hall of Fame. What do you think? You got somebody else in mind? Anybody that you think that I've missed here? Or do you have comments on any of those four names that I mentioned? Bill Polian, Steve Tasker, Fred Smirlis, Kent Hull. The next Buffalo Bills representative in the Pro Football Hall of Fame, who might it be? Give us a call. Let us know what you think. Lines are open. 803-0550 is the number. And if you're outside the 716 area code, we've got a toll-free number for you. It is 1-888-550-2550. And you can do it via Twitter as well. At John Murphy Show. The next Buffalo Bills representative in the Pro Football Hall of Fame, who do you think it'll be? Give us a call. Let us know what you think. We have a couple of tweets in already on this issue and some of the names that we mentioned. Steve Tasker is a name that's been mentioned. We mentioned it a moment ago, and D-Mac tweets in that's his choice. Pete tweets in Steve Tasker and Kent Hull, but he says it won't happen until they get to the Veterans Committee. Jonathan Smith tweets in Steve Tasker. Let's see. Who else? Any interesting tweets here? Larry Scott, a player that hasn't been on the team yet, which would mean a long wait. Chris Williams tweets, does T.O. count? I don't know. I mean, Terrell Owens, 1 year in Buffalo, I guess if he merits Pro Football Hall of Fame consideration, you'd have to include the Buffalo year. Joe Honiger, if they allow special teamers in, Steve Tasker should go next. Andrew Farrell, I think it's going to be a long time until the next one. Who's the next Buffalo Bills representative who will be honored by the Pro Football Hall of Fame? Let us know what you think. We've got a few minutes here on the phones. 803-0550 is the number. Toll-free 1-888-550-2550. Henry in Williamsville. Hello, Henry. You're on the air.
Hi. How are you tonight?
I'm great.
Thanks for taking the call.
Sure.
I got another guy nobody mentioned yet. Joe DeLaVallure.
Oh, he's in.
He's class act.
Oh, he's in the Pro Football Hall of Fame.
I mean,
Joe D went in the Hall of Fame about 2003. He went in about 11 years ago. Yeah.
I also think for all the humanitarian work he did for all the down-and-out retired players and everything.
Yeah.
Good
point, Henry. Yeah, Joe D's been in for 11 years. Paul in Hamburg, who would you put in? Who is the next Buffalo Bills representative in the Pro Football Hall of Fame?
Your idea of Bill Polian, but I think it's going to be Reuben Brown.
Really?
Yep.
He's got multiple Pro Bowl appearances, that's for sure. That would mean a lot.
He's got 7 or 8 in a row.
Yeah. Would you say that Reuben was considered as an elite player at his position throughout his long NFL career, Bills and Bears?
Well, you know what? I didn't really think so, but I think the people voting him in the Pro Bowl thought so because he's got a lot in a row, and I think that's going to probably get him in for sure.
Yeah. All right, Reuben Brown, a vote for Reuben Brown. Who's the next Buffalo Bills representative in the Pro Football Hall of Fame? Matt in Philadelphia has an idea. Matt, who would it be?
Hey, John. Well, first I'd like to say Steve Tasker, I think we'll get there eventually because they're going to make a spot for that special teams ace or specialist at some point. But I think currently, if the Bills were a more prominent team, I think Kyle Williams would be on the talking block at some point. I mean, he has been elite at his position for years now. He's not known so much because of the team he plays for, but if you go to the Pro Football Focus and Football Outsiders in all of their reviews and breakdowns of each play of a player, he comes out on the top every year.
Yep.
So, you know, will it happen unless we start winning some Super Bowls? Probably not, but I think he should be up there in terms of the conversation.
Yeah, well, it's worthy of conversation. Kyle is going into his 9th year in the league, and I'm looking up now as to how many Pro Bowl appearances he has. I believe it's 2 or maybe 3. You know, it's difficult to say that Kyle Williams has been a dominant player at his position over the years. He's been more than steady. He's been an excellent player, and he's been a player that I think most teams and opponents appreciate as a major competitor and a guy that's just tough to play against. Is he a dominant force? I think that's be difficult to say, but certainly worthy of consideration. Is it enough to get him in the Pro Football Hall of Fame? Boy, I don't know. I don't know. That's a lot. That's a pretty heavy lift. He's a 3-time Pro Bowl performer, Kyle Williams. Here's a call from Mike in Lewiston. Mike, who's the next Buffalo Bill to be worthy of consideration for the Pro Football Hall of Fame?
Well, Marv Levy said in 91 he had the best season of a defender he's ever seen in his life, Cornelius Bennett.
The Biscuit. He needs to get on the Bills Wall of Fame, too. I think that's eventually going to happen, too. But, yeah, again, was he dominant at his position for a long time? Was he an elite-level player? He's an elite talent. I know that. Tremendously gifted athletically.
Between him and Daryl Taylor.
I'm sorry, what?
It was split kind of between him and Daryl Taylor. And Daryl Taylor never got the credit he deserved, but Bennett definitely is up there.
All right, thanks for your call. Chris in Niagara Falls. Chris, who'd be the next Buffalo Bill to merit consideration for the Hall of Fame?
I'm going to have to go with Drew Bledsoe.
Really? Tell me why.
Just a great quarterback with the Bills, carried on after the Patriots came here, really kicked some butt and put up some big numbers.
Drew, I believe, was the first overall pick his year coming out, right?
That year, yeah.
Yep. Don't you think, and this is just my perception, your perception may differ, I think that people have a perception that Drew Bledsoe may have never really lived up to the expectations that came with being the first overall pick. Do you agree?
I think he did. He brought the Patriots to the Super Bowl the year he got hurt. They wouldn't have got past, I believe it was the Steelers in the playoffs after Tom Brady went down for a little bit, and that led to their Super Bowl year. So, I think he's worthy.
Okay, thanks. Here's Jim in Tonawanda. Jim, who's the next Buffalo Bill to deserve consideration for the Hall of Fame?
Besides Polian, I don't think they have anybody. I mean, I don't think any of the team from the Super Bowl players are going to make it. I don't think Jasper's going to make it. It's kind of tragic, but I don't think he's going to. And I don't think Ken Hall's going to make it either. So, quite frankly, other than the guys that may come up from this team, if Kiko or Sammy Watkins or something like that, I don't think any of those players are going to make it.
All right, that's a valid answer, Jim, and that crossed my mind too. Maybe there isn't anybody in the if you think that the Super Bowl era that those players have been adequately honored by recognition in the Pro Football Hall of Fame, which you could. I mean, that would leave out Tasker and Hull and some of the others' names have been mentioned. But if you think that that team is adequately represented, has there really been anybody since then who merits Hall of Fame consideration? I think that's a valid question. One more call, Dave in Cheektowaga. Dave, who's on your mind?
Hey, Murph, how are you?
Okay.
I'm gonna give my vote to London Fletcher.
Wow. Really?
He's had a great career. It's been a long time. He led our team in tackles every year. I know he was a mainstay for the Rams. He's still playing. I think he's the man.
Okay. I would not vote for him for the Hall of Fame. I know he is tremendously productive and did a racked up tackle numbers. There's no question about that. You can debate how many impactful tackles that he made. He was on the field a lot for a St. Louis team that ran a lot of plays on offense, so the defense was on the field a lot. He was on the field a lot for a Buffalo Bills team that was not really outstanding defensively, and then, of course, picked up more numbers with the Washington Redskins. I'd have a hard time voting for London Fletcher for the Pro Football Hall of Fame, but that's an interesting choice. In fact, we'll ask Clark Judge about that. We'll continue this discussion throughout the night. Clark Judge is going to join us at 8 o'clock, longtime NFL sports writer, now part of the Talk of Fame radio network. And they deal with issues like this, Pro Football Hall of Fame, who deserves in, who might not deserve mention in the Pro Football Hall of Fame. Clark Judge will be joining us at 8 o'clock tonight to talk about that. The Bills have a new linebacker today. They made a number of roster moves. They signed linebacker Stevenson Sylvester. He wants to be called Sly. Fifth-round pick of the Steelers in 2010, played in 50 games over 4 years with the Steelers, was not re-signed as he became an unrestricted free agent this year back in March with the Steelers, out on the street until now, and now he's a Buffalo Bill. Stevenson Sylvester, outside linebacker, 6'2", 231-pound product of Utah. To make room, the Bills announced that they've released tight end Mike Cawson today. And they also made a number of moves just around the injury lists as they get ready for camp. They put linebacker Randell Johnson and defensive back Leotis McKelvin on the active physically unable to perform list. They put linebacker Kiko Alonso on the active non-football injury list. They put tackle Cordy Glenn and defensive tackle Alan Branch on the active non-football injury list. So with Branch, Johnson, and McKelvin all active PUP, all three of them are eligible to come off that list and start practicing as soon as they're cleared by the medical staff. But the new Buffalo Bill is the linebacker Stevenson Sylvester. We had a chance to sit down with him and talk with him after he signed. The newest addition to the Buffalo Bills roster comes just a few days before the team reports to training camp, and joining us in studio right now, linebacker Stevenson Sylvester. You like to be called Sly.
Yes.
First and last name, I'll boil it down into Sly. How long have people been calling you that?
Really, since high school.
Okay.
Yeah. And so it's the easiest for people to remember. So,
tell me about you grew up in Las Vegas, Nevada. Tell me about that and the football that you played in Las Vegas.
It was hot.
Yeah.
It was hot. No, I grew up in Las Vegas. I played at Valley High School, and it was an experience all in itself. You know, I just remember watching the sixth period PE class watering the football field down for us for practice. But, yeah, it was hot. I grew up like two or three blocks away from the Strip. So I was right in the central part of Vegas, and, you know, it was interesting.
So the bright lights and all the glitz and glamour of Las Vegas just means nothing to you?
I try to stay away from it. Yeah. I know a lot of friends and stuff back there, and I don't get any sleep. So I stay where I went to college now.
I read that when you came out of high school, out of Valley High School, you were not really heavily recruited. What do you think was going on back then?
Well, you know, I didn't really have any money to go to any camps, you know, okay, to get that exposure for other teams to notice me. And, you know, good thing my coach from high school knew somebody at the University of Utah. So when they came to play UNLV, they came to watch my game, and they really liked me.
And Utah worked out for you. You had some pretty good years, including your junior year. Looked like your best year of the four you spent at Utah.
Yeah, we went undefeated. Yeah. Played against the University of Alabama in the Sugar Bowl, and it was just an awesome year.
Tell me what you learned from that year and what you liked about that year with the Utes.
Really, it's just, you know, when you get together with a team and a camaraderie, just the benefits of having a team chemistry that we had. You know, we all were together for a couple of years before that, so we were all just clicking. You know, seniors, juniors, freshmen, sophomores, we were all just working together. And the success from there is what I want to take with me with any team that I get on. When I was with the Steelers these past few years, and then now hopefully with the Buffalo Bills, to build that team chemistry and win this division.
What was the next year like for you and for Utah? It wasn't the same kind of year in terms of team goals, I wouldn't think, or maybe even what you had hoped to do in your senior year at Utah.
Oh, it was the same. We had the same type of atmosphere. We just had a new group of guys. You know, we had a couple seniors and a couple guys leave early for the NFL draft after my junior year. But really, we still had a pretty good record. We went 10-3 and lost some pretty close games. And you know, we still had that team leadership and camaraderie, and we instilled in the younger players. So
Stevenson Sylvester, our guest, new Bills linebacker, Sly, he likes to be called. You went in the fifth round of the Pittsburgh Steelers. Is that about where you figured you might go in the draft?
Yeah, well, you know, I was projected to go a little higher a year before, but, you know, I wanted to finish my degree, and, you know, I took on a lot of classes to finish early and stuff, so my senior year was pretty packed. But, you know, yeah, we were expected third to fifth round and ended up being fifth round.
And you go to a team that's a legendary franchise in the Steelers and a team with a legendary defense and an icon as the defensive coordinator, Dick LeBeau. Talk about that experience.
Oh, man, it was incredible. Incredible. Well, you know, Pittsburgh was never on my radar because they already have James Harrison, Ferrier, Foote, Timmons, Woodley.
Some of the best linebackers in football.
Yeah, they were stocked at linebackers, so I didn't even think they were interested in me, and they ended up taking me in. They had a lot of linebackers, and I made them carry an extra one my rookie year. So that was fun, and we went to the Super Bowl, you know, lost to the Packers. That was an experience all in itself, and it was amazing. I learned a lot over the years. Dick LeBeau is an amazing guy. I love him. And, you know, you can only speak good things about him because he's such a great guy.
It's kind of a linebacker-friendly scheme, isn't it, with what they do in the zone blitz that they like to do?
It is. It is. It takes advantage of the blitzing skills, which I hope to incorporate here in Buffalo. And, you know, it exposes some offenses.
And the Super Bowl experience, what did you get out of that, going with the Steelers to the Super Bowl, even in defeat?
Yeah, well, second place sucks, I tell you that much.
I think people around here know that, too.
Yeah, I know. From the 90s, I've been a big fan ever since I was a little kid. So I am a big follower of football, so I know all about the Buffalo Bills. And, yeah, second place just is not fun. You know, you do all the work over the season. You have success, the ups and downs, and you get all the way to the big show, and you lose by a little bit, and it really sucks. So you know, I learned when you get to the show, it's that one opportunity, and you got to make it count.
Sly, how did you see the field for the Steelers over those years? Was it special teams or more defensive snaps, or how did that break down for you?
It was more special teams, you know, especially as a younger player. Last year, I played more defense because due to injury, but you know. I'm a defensive player, so I'm hoping to get in a lot on defense here.
Last year, the Steelers released you right at the end of camp and then brought you back a few weeks later.
Yeah. It was a weird deal. But, yeah, the Steelers went 0-4 to start the season and then brought me back.
That had to be rough to get released, but you had to be ready. And maybe you knew that there might be a chance you'd go back?
Oh, yeah, there was definitely a chance. There's always a chance. And so my agent just stayed in my ear and told me to stay ready and be ready for whatever.
And you got to see the field against the Bills on a game early November. I think it was November 10th last year against the Buffalo Bills. Not the best day for the Bills that day.
No.
Remember that game much?
I do remember that game. You know, E.J. Manuel's just coming back off of his injury. So, you know, as Pittsburgh, we had a trouble kind of scheming. We didn't know exactly what we were going to get, either Thaddeus Lewis or E.J. So, yeah, I saw the field a little bit against him.
Stevenson Sylvester, our guest, the Bills' newest linebacker. Free agency came and went. You had your 4 years in, and you had to wait until this late into July, mid-July, to sign on with the team. What's the last few months been for you? What have you done over the last few months?
It's been rough, man. I just bought a house, so, you know, I've been trying to take care of the house.
In Vegas? Or?
No, I bought it in Salt Lake. I can't live in Vegas. It's too crazy in Vegas. No, but
That's quite a difference, by the way, Salt Lake and Vegas.
It is.
That's like opposite ends of the spectrum, really.
But I'm a low-key guy. Okay. I like to just chill and hang out with people I know. So. Salt Lake was perfect for me. I can take a drive to go visit family real easy. But I've just been taking care of my house. And I know this happened for Doug Legersky last year. He's a really good friend of mine. He didn't get signed till July as well last year. So, you know, talking to him and just telling me to be patient, and, you know, everything will work out.
You had workouts with the Ravens and the Patriots over these last few months?
Yeah. I had workouts with a couple different teams. And, you know, they told me they'll give me a call. And I guess they waiting too late. The Bills snacked me up.
What did the Bills tell you? When did they bring you in? Did they work you out over the last few days? Or
Yeah. The Bills brought me in last night.
Okay.
I had a rough flight coming from the West Coast. It's been a couple storms.
Okay.
But they brought me in last night, and I had a workout this morning, and they liked what I could do, so we signed a contract.
What kind of a role do you think they have in mind for you?
I have no idea. I cannot wait to talk to our defensive coordinator and linebacker coach, and hopefully it's just to contribute anyway to this team to win some games.
It's not quite the iconic, legendary status of the defense you might have been in Pittsburgh, but you're joining a defense that got some pretty good things done last season.
No, I've definitely, like I said, I'm a football fan, so I've definitely noticed exactly what's been going on in the league, and the Buffalo Bills have definitely done some things over the the year, especially defensively, that you can definitely notice. And so I just hope to be a part of that and, you know, make the Buffalo Bills better.
Sly, do you feel like you have to catch up a little bit, or will you be ready to go when they hit the field on Sunday night?
I'm eager, man. I've been in the offseason just waiting for this opportunity. So I'll be ready to go whenever we hit the ground running.
Happy to have you. Thanks for coming by.
Thank you.
That's the Buffalo Bills' newest linebacker, Sly Stevenson Sylvester, signed to a contract today. The John Murphy Show presented by NOCO from One Bills Drive on Buffalo Bills Radio.
We're back with more of the John Murphy Show on Buffalo Bills Radio.
The Buffalo Bills are in a time of transition. After playing 54 years under founder Ralph Wilson, the team will be sold.
One of the opening comments from the Buffalo Bills 2013 highlight video, the annual year in review video produced by NFL Films. It airs on NFL Network tonight at 8 o'clock, just about 26 minutes away. Joining us live on the line, the producer of the Bills 2013 highlight film, a producer for NFL Films, Michelle Girardi-Zumwalt. Michelle, thanks for coming on the air with us tonight.
Yeah, no problem. Thanks for having me.
Are you nervous? The big debut for the Bills highlight film?
No, not really. I think the Bills fans are going to love it.
Yeah, you've seen it a lot, I'm sure, Michelle. Tell us. I have to ask you this, too. You're also, is this right, the president of the Bills Backers of Philadelphia?
This is true. I am.
So you're a bona fide dyed-in-the-wool Bills fan. You are a native of Western New York, right?
I am. I'm born and raised in Buffalo, yes.
Yeah, that's right, because we met when you were here. How did you get assigned to produce a highlight film for your favorite NFL team?
Well, at the time when I joined NFL Films 9 years ago, I was the only producer who was a Bills fan. So they assigned it to me back then, and I never let it go.
What's involved in producing a highlight film, Michelle?
It's a lot of work. So every Bills game has at least two NFL Films cameras at it, sometimes more, sometimes there's bench sound, sometimes someone might be wired. This year we had Coach Doug Marone wired in week two against Carolina. So after the end of the season, I have to go through all of the footage, all of the shots from all those cameras and pick out the best ones and come up with a story. Usually what I do is I start by going through the footage and then I outline it, outline the whole film, get in touch with Scott Burchfield of the Buffalo Bills. He approves my outline and then I get cracking on editing.
And did you edit yourself or do you have editors that work with you?
Nope. Producers at NFL Films do everything themselves. So
wow.
I edit everything. I choose all the music, edit the music, write the scripts. So it's all me.
And so each team, are there 32 different highlight films for each team? Is that how it works?
Every team has gotten a highlight film since NFL Films was founded, yes, every year.
Michelle, these films, and this is a big deal tonight, obviously, and the first public showing of it, but I can recall 20 years ago where these films were made available to the teams, and they would take them out early in the spring sometimes and use them to sell tickets, you know, to the Holy Name Society. That doesn't go on anymore, does it?
That's to the discretion of the team. We still provide DVD copies to the team before it airs. So if they wanted to, the Bills could air it, you know, for season ticket holders, or like you say, you know, as a promotional video. But, we used to actually also create DVDs that could be sold to the public. But usually the teams only did that if they, you know, won the Super Bowl or went deep in the playoffs. Obviously, the last 14 years or so, the Bills haven't had the greatest record, so I think they've sort of backed off on that a little bit.
Yeah. Michelle Girardi-Zumwalt joins us, producer for NFL Films. She produced the Bills' 2013 highlight film. It's called This Is Our Time. That's the title. Tell me of what went into naming the film this year, Michelle.
Well, Scott Burchfield and I had a couple conversations about it. Obviously, with the passing of Mr. Wilson, we were incorporating that into the film. So the film is also not only a highlight of 2013 and it's sort of a look ahead to 2014, but a tribute to, you know, our great late owner. And so we thought about what would be an appropriate title that incorporates all those different concepts. And since this was also going to be the new marketing campaign for the team next year, it just seemed to make the most sense.
It does. We have actually a short audio clip from the film, and here's talking a little bit about This Is Our Time.
A new era of Buffalo Bills football is underway.
Just an exhilarating situation here.
An amazing comeback win for E.J. Manuel.
It's time, Buffalo. This is our time.
That's from the Bills 2013 highlight film with the voices of the radio crew. I hear my buddy Mark Kelso and I hear my voice. How much do you use the radio calls, Michelle?
Oh, tons. One thing I love about NFL Films is that whenever we show highlights, whether it's for the highlight film, whether it's on Inside the NFL during the season, we always use the local radio crews. And I just think that's something unique about NFL films, and it's something that the fans really love about it, too. So, yeah, you guys are all over this film. Sometimes I think it's better than trying to write lines. You just let the action play and let you guys tell us what happens.
I got to tell you, it's kind of a professional rush to hear your own voice on NFL films. And it is. It happens sometimes during the season if there's a highlight show or ESPN puts something together. But especially on a highlight film like this, which, you know, is basically the video record of the 2013 season. I love hearing my voice on that.
Yeah, and you're all over it, really. I mean, you and Mark are both a huge part of NFL films for the past however many years you've been together.
Hey,
and it's fun. It's fun to go through the radio and listen, and I'm always like, all right, come on, Murph. Say exactly what I need you to say, and a lot of times you do.
and I hope you clean up my mistakes also, right, from time to time.
Oh, of course. Yeah, there's a lot of, not a lot, but, you know, it's always splicing it together to get the cleanest sound and to make you guys sound like, I don't want to say smarter, but, we try to...
Hey, believe me, I know. Believe me, no one knows more than I do how many mistakes we make. And that's really the...
more articulate, let's say that.
Yeah, that's really the challenge of doing those broadcasts is, you know, everything's happening in real time and you're trying to keep up with it. It's hard. And to have a chance to clean it up afterwards, that's like a dream come true for me.
Oh, I imagine. And Mark is amazing, too, as far as breaking down the plays. He's one of the best in the business, as far as I'm concerned.
Michelle Girardi-Zumwalt joins us. She's the producer of the Bills highlight film. This is Our Time. It airs on NFL Films at 8 o'clock tonight, just about 20 minutes away. Hey, Michelle, what kind of background do you have to be a producer at NFL Films?
Well, the main thing that NFL Films looks for is writers, actually. I mean, obviously it helps to have some sort of television or TV production or film background, but Steve Sable's philosophy was always, you know, if you're a writer, we can't teach you how to write. We can teach you how to edit, but we can't teach you how to write. So they love people who can write great scripts and come up with great interview questions. So really, if you're an English major, you have as good of a chance of getting hired if you're a good writer as you do if you're a television production major.
You know, we had an author on who wrote a book about NFL films a couple of months ago on this show, and you've been there 9 years, as you said. How much does Steve Sable's influence remain now, a couple of years after he passed away? How much of an imprint does he still leave on that place?
Oh, he's everywhere. I mean, I think most of us, or all of us maybe, don't make a decision without thinking about what he would want. And, you know, we talk about him all the time during meetings, what Steve would want. Nobody even sits in his chair in our screening theater. You know, we kind of reserve that for him. His office is still there. And you know, we all definitely still want to make him proud, even though he's no longer with us.
Now, back to the Bills highlight film for a second, Michelle. And as you said, there's a kind of two components. One, the Bills 2013 season. And I want to talk about that. First of all, what were some of the high points of the season? What was the most dramatic video and maybe audio that you had from last season?
Let me think. Well, I would say probably the most dramatic is week two against Carolina. I mean, we had Coach Marone mic'd up or wired in that game, which was an amazing game to have someone wearing a wire for. And then you had E.J. Manuel's big game-winning drive at the end of the fourth quarter. We covered that Stevie Johnson touchdown catch pretty much perfectly, like right from the back of the end zone. The camera follows the spiral in the air, you know, the classic NFL film shot. So that's probably the most powerful moment of 2013.
And can you imagine how much fun it would be to do these films for a team that had a playoff run or even a Super Bowl run? Can you imagine? You'd have a hard time boiling it down to a half-hour show, wouldn't you?
Oh, from your lips, my friend. I've been waiting to do that for 9 years.
Yeah.
It is. It's hard. And, you know, it's funny that you say that because a couple years ago, I think it was the 2012 season, one of the seasons where we started off really great and then kind of went downhill. Peter King wrote in his Monday Morning Quarterback column, "I feel sorry for the producer at NFL Films who has to produce the Bills highlight this year." And I thought,
that's me.
That's me.
Yeah.
And, you know, when you're 6-10 or 7-9 every year, it's hard to, you know, make a different film each year. You feel a little bit like it's Groundhog Day. But, you know, I think all of us at Films try really hard to bring, you know, a fresh eye and creativity every year.
Michelle, what about the other component to this year's highlight video, the Ralph Wilson tribute? What's in that? What's in that part of the video?
Yeah, you know, that was something that really special to me. I was really actually looking forward to being able to you know, make my own tribute to Ralph Wilson and to kind of give him a little send-off, write a little love note to him in my own way. You know, I used aspects from his Hall of Fame induction speech. I used some of the eulogies that were given at the memorial service that was held in early April. I used fan testimonials about how much he meant to them and player testimonials and images of all the fans who came out to the field house in early April to pay their respects to him. So I think the fans will really appreciate that, hopefully, and it really resonates with them.
Michelle, how much does a film like this about the Bills 2013 campaign, how much do you think it appeals to you know, 31 other NFL markets, if at all?
You know, it's a good question. I mean, I think a lot of us who love football and who love NFL films will watch almost anything. You know, if you notice, like, during the Super Bowl when they air the marathons of these yearbooks or these old highlight films, you know, you sit and watch the, you know, 1988 Broncos or something just because the shots are so amazing and our cinematographers are so incredible that it's interesting just to see the beautiful shots and to listen to the writing, I think, even if it's not your team.
Hey, Michelle, am I correct? Were you up in these parts recently for the Jim Kelly football camp? Did I see that?
I was. I was in town on Sunday with Jim, yes.
Did you, with the crew, are you shooting stuff for films with Jim?
Yes, we have a project coming up that I can't exactly reveal yet, but we were in town with him, yes, on Sunday, and he was amazing.
Yeah, all right. Well, you are a true blue Bill. I guess I'm surprised a little bit that NFL Films would allow such a dyed-in-the-wool Bills fan to be in charge of the Bills project. Are there others like you there at NFL Films?
Oh, absolutely. And they love having real fans, their true fans, cut the highlight films because, honestly, they're better. Because I know I am the audience to the film, and I know what Bills fans would want, and I've watched every single play of every single game. So, I mean, who better to cut it than somebody who's been immersed into the Bills season all year? And there are. There's Steelers fans, there's Eagles fans, there's Dolphins fans. Everybody, you know, they try to assign the films to the most diehard fan when they can.
Well, the Bills highlight film airs in just a few minutes, 8 o'clock on NFL Network, which I'm basically chasing away most of our radio audience when I say that. But does it air again?
DVR, right?
Yeah. Does it air again, it probably airs at some time on the network.
Yeah, you know, I don't know exactly. I think it may air overnight at like 2:30 in the morning or something.
Okay.
I think it airs at least one more time this week, and then they may replay them again over the summer.
All right, we'll look for them. We'll look for it tonight. I'll have it here in the studio with the audio down in just a few minutes. Michelle, congratulations on another Bills highlight film. Thank you very much for being on the air with us, and I'm sure we'll see you down the road sometime. Thanks.
Yeah, thanks for having me. Hope everyone enjoys it.
Michelle Girardi-Zumwalt. She is a producer at NFL Films, and she produced the Bills' 2013 highlight film, This Is Our Time. It's going to air in about 14 and a half minutes on the NFL Network. This Is Our Time, the Bills' 2013 highlight film, which includes, as she said, a tribute to former Bills, the late Bills owner, Ralph C. Wilson, Jr., coming up at 8 o'clock tonight. All right, we got more to come. The John Murphy Show presented by NOCO. Tonight, live from One Bills Drive, this is Buffalo Bills Radio.
This is the John Murphy Show on Buffalo Bills Radio.
Thanks again to Michelle Zumwalt, Michelle Girardi-Zumwalt, for joining us to talk about the Bills highlight film from 2013. Going to be on the NFL Network in about 10 minutes. So turn off the radio. I mean, that's crazy, right? You know, our 8 o'clock guest has got his own radio show, too. What am I doing, Jay? I'm basically shooting myself in the foot here. Go watch
for
TV,
one night,
audience.
For one and night then, only.
Yeah, for one night only. You get dispensation. You can tape it and watch it later, I guess. That's broadcasting 101, right? You're pushing people away. A couple of people have already tweeted in about Michelle Girardi-Zumwalt's Michael Partham, can't wait to see what you've got for us. Highlight film is going to give me chills. I can tell from the audio clips. A couple more audio clips, right, Jay, from the highlight film that's coming up at 8 o'clock. What do you got, Jay?
It's true that avoiding eye contact with a wild beast may keep it from attacking. But Geno Smith and the Jets quickly learned that there's no escaping a charging buffalo.
Yeah, that's what we're talking about, NFL Films writing.
So can we get that guy just to narrate our lives? Imagine just walking down the hall.
I forgot to ask her who that is. Yeah, it's not John Facenda, but it's close.
No.
It's very close, yeah. You're right. You'd like to have him just like, it's time to go to Subway now. You would. You'd like to have that.
Well, not all moments.
All right, so that's coming up at 8 o'clock. Also coming up for us at 8 o'clock, we're going to talk with Clark Judge, our old buddy who's been covering the NFL for more than 30 years, and now he's got a new radio show, Talk of Fame Sports Network, where he and a couple of other veteran pro football observers talk about the Pro Football Hall of Fame and who merits consideration. That kind of is how we started the show. Who's going to be the next Buffalo Bill or representative of the Buffalo Bills who's going to be in the Pro Football Hall of Fame? We had a couple of calls on this and a couple of tweets on this over the last couple of minutes. I guess I threw some water on the idea of Drew Bledsoe, but Paul Cleewell tweets in, 4-time Pro Bowler, won a Super Bowl with the Pats, 3-time AFC champion. I'd say Bledsoe is worth the Hall of Fame. Okay, I'd listen to that argument. Patrick Kane tweets in, Tom Sestak should be a Hall of Famer. How about Daryl Talley, according to Sarah Webster? Andy Mack tweets in, my vote would be for Tasker, but I'd like to see Talley get some love. So people kind of all over the board, but there are other Buffalo Bills people who I think would merit consideration. Vinny Guadagna tweets in, Chris Spielman, Bryce Pop. And then somebody else tweets in, someone just called into our show and said Kyle Williams is a potential Hall of Famer. Huh? Get a grip, man. Yeah. You know, Hall of Fame is big, and I don't know that Kyle Williams is there yet, just yet, 9 years into his career, but we'll see. We'll see. Next hour, got a pretty good show coming up in the next hour if you're going to stay with us and not turn it over to the NFL Network to watch the Bills highlight film. We're going to talk with Clark Judge, longtime sports writer who is part of the Talk of Fame Radio Network, brand new radio network, a weekly syndicated football talk show. Clark Judge will talk to us about that, about Andre Reed in the Hall of Fame, and about who the next Buffalo Bills representative might be in the Pro Football Hall of Fame. That's coming up in the next hour. We're also going to find out what goes on at St. John Fisher College besides Bills camp. What? They have classes there? They award degrees? I thought the whole place shut down after 3 weeks in August. No, not really. Dr. Todd Harrison of St. John Fisher College will join us to give us the Fisher perspective on the Bills at training camp. An hour to go. The John Murphy Show presented by NOCO. Tonight, live from One Bills Drive, this is Buffalo Bills Radio.
And this crowd is on its feet, and it is pandemonium. And that's only the half of it.
He's got Goodwin open in the end zone.
Time is over. We're back with more of the John Murphy Show, presented by NOCO.
You can't stop CJ Spiller. You can't stop him. How did he do it? How did he do it?
The John Murphy Show, presented by NOCO, supplying natural gas and electricity to thousands of homes and businesses across Western New York.
Everybody's on their feet in the stands.
This crowd is absolutely whipped into a frenzy.
The John Murphy Show, presented by NOCO on Buffalo Bills Radio.
Yes, we're back. Hour two of the John Murphy Show, presented by NOCO. And thanks again to Michelle Girardi-Zumwalt, the producer of the NFL Films documentary about the highlight film for the Bills' 2013 season. This is our time. It airs right now on the NFL Network, and she just texted me back and said it airs again at midnight tonight. If you want to roll your tape, if you want to continue maybe to listen to our show and roll your tape, midnight tonight on the NFL Network. This is our time, the Bills' 2013 highlight film. Thanks again to Michelle for talking with us about that. Coming up later this hour, the Buffalo Bills go to training camp, as you know, at St. John Fisher College, and we're going to talk with Dr. Todd Harrison of St. John Fisher College to get Fisher's view of what goes on to get the college ready for training camp. And we're trying to make contact with our buddy Clark Judge, who now is part of the Talk of Fame Sports Network, a longtime NFL writer, 30 years or more covering the NFL, and we'll talk with him about this latest venture. We wanted to talk to him also about the Hall of Fame, about the, you know, who belongs, who's the next Buffalo Bill representative in the Pro Football Hall of Fame. And that's a question we put to you on the air tonight. You can do that right now if you want to chime in. 803-0550 is the number, toll free, 1-888-550-2550. You can do it via Twitter. We talked about some of the names next in line for the Hall of Fame for the Buffalo Bills. Who would it be? Andre's going in a couple of weeks. What's next? Fred Smirlis, Steve Tasker, Ken Hall. Some people have phoned in and tweeted in names like Cornelius Bennett. Maybe. I think Bill Polian, to me, is the likeliest candidate, although his body of work is not just the Buffalo Bills. It's the Carolina Panthers and the Indianapolis Colts as well. But yeah, we'll see. If you have a thought on that, give us a call. 803-0550 is the number. Who's next in the Pro Football Hall of Fame representing the Buffalo Bills? Getting set for training camp. Friday's our first show. We'll be down there at St. John Fisher College on Friday. Player check-in day on Friday. Saturday's like a testing day. Physicals, conditioning work, mostly testing for the Bills. They'll do a little weigh-in, little weightlifting, and get themselves settled into training camp on Saturday, the 19th. And then Sunday, night practice, 6 o'clock at night. You need tickets. There's information on our website about where you can get tickets for Sunday's night practice. So we're going to be there Friday night doing radio, and then all next week, Monday through Friday, doing radio. I guess Thursday's off because it's an off day for the players. But training camp arrives next week. The Buffalo Bills going back to St. John Fisher College for the 15th year. And to talk about that, joining us on the line right now is the gentleman who is the he's going to be in charge of the Fisher organization of Bills training camp. He is an assistant professor at St. John Fisher College, and he joins us live on the line right now, Dr. Todd Harrison. Todd, thank you very much for being with us. We appreciate it.
Oh, you're welcome, John. Thanks for having me on.
Hey, this is the second year, I guess, or the third year you've been the co-director of the Bills training camp for the college, right?
I've actually been with the college in the training camp capacity for, this is my ninth year, actually.
Okay, all right. Is that a short straw type of thing, Todd, or is that a good job to have to work with the Bills on getting training camp set up?
Well, I think for some on campus it may be the short straw, but I'm a sport management faculty member, so it gives me a chance over 6 to 8 weeks in the summer to actually practice what it is that I talk about the other 40 weeks of the year.
Yeah, that's interesting. How have you used what you've learned from being around Bill's training camp in your sport management classes? What kind of lessons have you learned that you kind of impart to sport management students at Fisher?
I mean, obviously the first thing that comes to mind is from an event management standpoint and pulling all of the different pieces together and sort of thinking ahead and logistically what needs to be done in what order and how to keep different parties happy. But it extends to, obviously, the Bills and their marketing efforts and the reason that they're at St. John Fisher and thinking how can a small market organization maximize the people in the area, maximize the corporate dollars to sustain themselves. So it draws across the sport law a number of different pieces.
This is the 15th season the Bills have held training camp at St. John Fisher College, Todd, and I think by any measure, from the Bills' standpoint, it's an unqualified success. Does the college must feel that way also?
We think that it is. It really played a major part in strengthening our foothold in Western New York as a college. We're only really 63 or 4 years old as a college, which is pretty young as an institution, and over the last 15 years, it has given us, at a time when not a lot of colleges are being talked about on news cycles and in newspapers, et cetera, it gives us some notoriety and gets people onto campus. It's been just terrific for the whole college, our athletic department, just all around has been great.
You know, it's funny you mentioned that. I have two brothers who went to Fisher back in the 70s. I have a number of friends who attended Fisher. When they were there in the 70s, and even some friends of mine in the 80s, St. John Fisher College was not on the map here in the Buffalo part of Western New York, but now it is. And I think a lot of that, as you say, is directly attributable to the Bills' presence there at Fisher every summer.
It has. I grew up an hour east of Rochester in Seneca Falls, and as I was looking at colleges as a junior, senior year in high school, I had no idea St. John Fisher College even existed as an institution. It has definitely had a great role in just getting onto people's minds as they're thinking about what colleges they may want to go to.
Dr. Todd Harrison, our guest, he is an assistant professor at St. John Fisher College, and he is co-director of the St. John Fisher side of the Buffalo Bills training camp, which opens up on Friday as the team arrives and the practices start on Sunday. Todd, what would you say, is there something unique about that college, maybe the setup, the physical layout of that college that makes it a good site for training camp?
Well, it's a small institution, so we're our dining hall, our residence halls, the student life center, so the weight room, locker room, all of the facilities are really close together. So if you see pictures of Aaron Rodgers at Green Bay, they're on bikes riding across the campus. At Cortland, it's a long walk. At Fisher, it's a really short distance to a classroom, to be with your position coach, to the dining hall, to your room or to the locker room to get ready for practice. So from a proximity standpoint, it really works well to sort of move around and not waste time having to transport things.
Yeah, and that works to the advantage of fans, too. I mean, without, you know, traversing over acres and acres, they can get a look at the team on the field. They can get something to eat. They can participate in the fan experience, the setup with the games for the kids. You don't really, once you get there, you don't have to move around too much, which is good, I would think, huh?
Yeah, it's great. It's easy to get to from the highway. Once you're at the shuttle, the bus drops you off at the stairs. It's probably I don't know, a couple hundred steps, and you can be in Grounie Stadium, and then on the way there, grab a hot dog and something to drink and watch practice, and then the 200 steps back out to your bus, and you're in your home. So if you're not into walking too far, training camp is for you.
One thing, Todd, that always that has struck me over the years, and as we said, it's the 15th year the Bills have been there, the college really has grown up around training camp, not maybe just solely because of training camp, but the installation of the track and field stadium a couple of years ago with a football field in the middle of that and a new practice field around behind the gym and the new dormitories and everything else. Fisher has really grown a lot. Maybe it would have happened without the Bills, but over the 15 years, it really has grown a lot, I think, physically, hasn't it?
Yeah, it's a. We just talked a couple minutes ago about how great the Bills have been for the growth of the college. Well, with that growth comes new construction and renovations of things. And so all of that success is actually that the Bills have contributed to has actually created some effort to work around and have to work with a new facility or a new track or new nursing building or pharmacy building. All of the construction that's been on the athletic side and across campus is pretty significant. I think that this is my, I just finished my 10th school year teaching at the institution, and there are at least a dozen buildings that just weren't in existence in 2004 when I came.
Todd, tell me about what the Bills' presence at St. John Fisher has meant to Paul Vosburgh's football program in particular. When we first started out down there, I know Coach Vosburgh, I guess they were struggling a little bit. 15 years later, they've become a Division III powerhouse.
Yeah, you know, if you go to d3football.com and you go to the Fisher page, it shows the last 10 years of records that the football teams have had. And if you look up at 2000, 2001, 2002, the team was 3-8, 4-7. And then 2004, 5, 6, they went to a Final Four. They've been to multiple NCAA tournaments. Just this past year, they ended up winning a couple of games and going down to Texas to play a game that was really close. They came back and just lost by a touchdown at the end. The football program has really benefited from the facilities, the locker room that the players can change in, the training room that they get to work in, the field, which is the exact same turf that the Bills have, is all NFL quality. And if you're looking at going to schools to play football, St. John Fisher has facilities that just can't be really matched elsewhere.
Talking with Dr. Todd Harrison from St. John Fisher College. He is one of the co-directors of the Bills training camp at the college, and the Bills will be there starting Friday, running for a little bit longer this year, Todd. Does that create any issues for Fisher to have essentially about an extra week of training camp down there?
It is within, it's just that it's a little tight on each end.
Yeah.
So we have some basketball camps that are going on right now and some outside third-party events that are moving out. And it's just luckily our team of organizers from the Fisher side and the Bill side have really worked together for probably 10 years now. There hasn't been much turnover, so we really have the operation running well. So really moving the Bills in and moving them out just on short time frame is a little bit of just requires a little bit more planning is all, but it's not too much of a headache.
Todd, what are some of the logistical issues that you face getting that college, that campus ready for the Bills every summer?
You know, moving in is not much of a challenge because we have a couple of months of lead-in time, but there are, in the dormitories that the players live in, the beds have to be set to different heights and some furniture has to be moved around and things, so we have June and July, our facility staff has to get ready. When the Bills leave, when you guys leave August 21st, 22nd, 23rd, we have students that are starting to move in on August 24th and 25th and 26th to get ready for the school year. So all of that work that had been done over 6 weeks has to be reversed and prepared to move back to St. John Fisher College student ready in 48 to 72 hours. So it, again, is just sort of planning it out and talking about what needs to be done.
That sounds like some long days for you at the end of August, I would imagine.
Yes, it may be. but we've done it before, and so we're pretty confident that the plan that we're sort of going off of will work, and the communication lines have been great. The Bills staff we work with is just terrific. Andy Major, Jessica Spira, Zach, they're all great.
You know, I would imagine when people think about the training camp, they think of the visible side, the football side. But as you know, and as I know, there's so many other support people who are there. I mean, our 4 or 5 person digital media moves out there. You know, the coaching staff moves out there. There's administrative support, training staff, medical staff. There's a lot that's not football related that sets up shop down there at St. John Fisher for this 4 or 5 week period also.
Yes, it's really the Bills move their entire operation 115 miles to the east and sets up here. So the training staff sets up everything here. The weight room is moved in. They just moved all of the weight equipment in. Our goal is for nobody to really know all of those pieces that go in. If we've done our job well, then the fans can come in, the players can come in, the coaches can come in, and it's all ready for them, just as if they were walking into One Bills Drive or going to a game at Ralph Wilson Stadium. Everything is just set up and ready to go, and it's seamless.
Todd, has anything changed significantly as far as the fan experience there, parking, the shuttle buses? Is there anything you can tell us about that?
Nothing has changed. We're still parking at Pittsford Mendon and Pittsford Sutherland High Schools with an overflow lot at Barker Road Middle School, so that is exactly the same. The merchandise tent, the concessions offerings, everything is the same. There's a little bit of an expansion on the corporate hospitality tent from the Bill side to make sure that all of those corporate partners and other individuals that work, that Bills are working to entertain, are working or are happy with what's going on.
Mm-hmm.
Really, the operation itself isn't too different, and that helps us with some of the tight turnarounds that we have on each end.
One of the things, too, that should be pointed out, not just the Bills have hospitality, but Fisher uses it to entertain, I would think, alumni and donors and supporters of the school, right? You've got your own little hospitality set up down there.
Yep, so at the end of Grounie Stadium on the Keating Terrace, we have a hospitality area, and then in front of Founders Hall. So we have two different hospitality areas that Dr. Bain has different groups, the School of Pharmacy or School of Education, outside parties come in and have events where they entertain guests. So, yes, it does have, we utilize it as an institution in a similar way that the Buffalo Bills do, is to work with different groups on establishing and fostering relationships.
Hey, Todd, in your role as a assistant professor and teaching sport management at St. John Fisher College, do you incorporate some of your students during the training camp period? Does any of them get a chance to act as interns or even employees during training camp?
Yeah, we do. We have, from our operation, the Fisher operation side, we have 4 sport management students that we have working with us over the couple of months. And then on the Bill side, just walking around the Student Life Center last week or this past week, I've seen 3 other sport management students that are working in the equipment room with Jeff Mazurek, or working in the training room with the different parties, just to gain some experience. It really, that is the academic opportunities really have been great. The Bills have been awesome and offering those chances.
And you know what, Todd, by extension, every time I look up, it seems we're hiring St. John Fisher alumni here at the Buffalo Bills. It works well for them after graduation, too, it seems.
It really has. Number 3, 4, 5, ticket account executives, Amanda Shevchuk works in human relations. Dallas Miller is working in your side of the
yep.
business. We have really had a great relationship from a full-time employment standpoint, and that's really the end goal. The internships offer those experiences, but it is really a couple of month interview that hopefully leads to employment, and the Bills have been great about extending those offers to our students.
We talked a few minutes ago, Todd, about Fisher's profile in the Buffalo area being raised by virtue of training camp, and it strikes me, too, I was looking at the list of national media outlets coming to training camp, including ESPN and the NFL Network and Sirius XM NFL Radio and Peter King from Sports Illustrated. All of a sudden, St. John Fisher College has a national profile to some extent.
It really does. And this year, beyond each of those parties come to us most of the time, each training camp. But because the Bills are the first team to open their training camp, it is easy for the Peter Kings and the ESPNs to schedule a stop at St. John Fisher College because there's not anywhere else for them to go. So they can kick off in Pittsburgh. There's an ESPN truck. They'll be broadcasting from here next week. So it really offers a chance for St. John Fisher to be on national media sources. We're a very regional institution and expands that knowledge base. Just yesterday, Jim Kelly had a football camp here, and ESPN showed 30 seconds to a minute and a half of footage from that camp. I'm talking about Jim Kelly and St. John Fisher's name is elsewhere, and that's something that we just can't get otherwise.
Some people think that Bills camp at Fisher is the best training camp experience in the NFL. What do you think, Todd?
Well, because I am on our training camp site, I haven't been able to go to other training camp sites, but I have heard Peter King has said the same thing. I've heard that Pittsburgh has a really great experience down at St. Vincent College in Latrobe, but from all sources, we have among the best, whether it's the best or the top two or three training camp experiences, and we work really hard to extend that experience for the fans and for the team and all the support personnel. We take great pride in making it a top two or three or hopefully the best training camp site.
Well, it shows, Todd. We thank you very much for your hard work getting ready for camp. We thank you for coming on the air with us tonight. We'll see you down there in a couple of days.
That sounds great, John. Thanks for having me on.
Thanks. Dr. Todd Harrison, he is an assistant professor teaching sport management at St. John Fisher College and co-director of the Buffalo Bills training camp for St. John Fisher. Yep, they're setting up. They've been moving all week, really. The equipment people, the weight room is down there now. The all of the support personnel moving in equipment and computers and setting the dorm rooms up. It won't be long. Todd mentioned it was interesting that he has not been to any other training camps because he's tied up with the Bills camp, obviously. I'm trying to think. I've been to the Browns training camp facility. They have camp right at their facility in Berea, Ohio. Great fields. You know, the setup is right there. It's like they don't move at all, so they have everything they need, meeting rooms. They do allow fans in, but you know what? It is so cramped and there's so little room around those practice fields in Cleveland that it's kind of a pain in the neck. And I think you lose a little bit. I was talking about this last night, and Bulldog mentioned it earlier tonight. You lose a little bit when you don't go away, when you don't go off-site for training camp. I've been to – what other camps have I been to? Years ago, the Bills had joint practices with the Philadelphia Eagles down in – I think it was Bethlehem, Pennsylvania, Lehigh University. That was nice. I mean, this is 15 years ago now, maybe longer, but not like Fisher. We're going to get a good look at the Steelers training camp set up in mid-August this year, about a month from now when the Bills have those 2 days of joint practices leading up to the preseason game against the Pittsburgh Steelers. That one at, what's the school, St. Vincent College in Latrobe?
St.
Vincent College. And they've been there forever. In fact, I think that's one of the longest tenured training camp off-sites in the NFL, St. Vincent College. Yeah, St. Vincent College, the Steelers have been there 49 years. We'll get a look at that one coming up in August to see what that looks like. I have a hard time believing that for the fan experience, there's a better one than Fisher when it comes to training camp. The fans are right there, whether they're in Grounding Stadium, where the stands are right up against the field. You can almost reach out and touch the players, watching practice for free under the lights when they're at Grounding Stadium, or even on the grass practice fields where their bleachers set up and you're really not that far from the action. It's hard to believe that there's a better fan experience in NFL training camps than what the Bills provide at St. John Fisher College. Access, autograph opportunities, merchandise tents, entertainment in terms of the Bills fan experience, the setup with all the kid games around to the side. I think it's a pretty good setup. We're looking forward to it. Can you tell I'm getting excited about training camp? Jay Harris, our producer, you're going to your first Bills training camp as an employee. I know you've been there before. What do you expect? What do you think?
Oh, I'm excited for it. I mean, now I'm fully involved this time. You know, it's not a one-time shop where I show up once a week or sometimes it would be once every couple of years just to go to camp. I haven't had my chance, so now I'm fully engaged. I'm ready for it. This is exciting.
You'll get your fill of camp this year.
Well, yeah, 5 weeks. Yeah,
5 weeks worth. Will. Yeah,
check back with me.
Yeah, I'll check back with you when it's over.
I'm sure. I'm looking forward to it.
It's going
to
be fun. We're going to be there Friday night with the show, 7 to 9 p.m., and then again next week. 4 and out of the 5 nights next week. All right, we'll take a break, and then we're going to hear from Clark Judge. We did a little on-the-fly shuffling here of guests, but Clark Judge scheduled to join us, and we come back, and we'll resume our discussion about the Hall of Fame. Clark is one of the new members of the Talk of Fame Sports Network, a syndicated radio show that starts up in a couple of weeks, and we'll talk with him about that. Got more to come. The John Murphy Show, presented by NOCO, live tonight from One Bills Drive on Buffalo Bills Radio.
We're back with more of the John Murphy Show on Buffalo Bills Radio.
Here till 9 o'clock tonight, the John Murphy Show presented by NOCO. We talked earlier tonight about the Pro Football Hall of Fame. Andre Reed going up on the Pro Football Hall of Fame in a couple of weeks down in Canton, Ohio. We raised the question, who would be next representing the Buffalo Bills in the Pro Football Hall of Fame? Nobody more qualified to talk about that than our next guest. He's been around the NFL, covering the NFL for more than 3 decades with the Baltimore Colts, San Diego, San Francisco. Of course, he's spent a lot of time with Fox Sports and CBSSports.com, a new venture these days for Clark Judge, and he joins us live on the line right now to talk about it. Clark, good evening. Thanks for being on the air with us.
Hey, Murph, thanks for being with me, and I really appreciate you having me on your show.
Oh, sure. I know. And I would have talked to your wife, Leslie, too, if you weren't ready. I haven't talked to Leslie in years. Tell her she's always welcome to come on the air.
She used to be the AFC Director of Information when the Buffalo Bills were going to the Super Bowl.
That's right. She would be Marv Levy's interpreter at the Super Bowl press conferences because Marv was
different. Marv Levy is her favorite coach. She loves Marv Levy.
Well, yeah, she was great at it. She would stand next to Marv, and when the dumb media guys didn't know what Marv was talking about, Leslie would interpret. She was great at it. Hey, Clark, you got a new gig going on here.
You're right. Yeah. She would say, I'm sorry, Marv's having trouble hearing that question. Would you repeat it again?
Yeah, that's right. You got a new venture going on, Clark, the Talk of Fame Sports Network. Tell me about it. What's that all about?
Yeah, I came up with this idea last year, Murph, and it essentially, you know, we're in the Hall of Fame. I'm talking about Rick Dawson of the Dallas Morning News, Ron Borges of the Boston Herald, and myself. And I just thought, listen, there's one niche in pro football that's not covered. It's the Pro Football Hall of Fame. I'm not sure why, but there are 46 guys who know what's going on in that room and a lot of people who don't. Yet everyone seems to have an opinion on Hall of Fame players. There are a lot of people out there who can tell you who should or shouldn't be a Hall of Famer, but there are very few who can tell you why they should or shouldn't be. But those 46 guys can, and I thought, listen, these are two guys in total, but two guys who are friends of mine that I respect and really have a great deal of experience. And I thought the three of us, we have, you know, close to 110 years experience covering the NFL. And so I thought we could basically tell people how difficult that process is, what goes into the thinking, and who might or might not be a Hall of Famer and why. And so we tried this with a radio show last year in Boston, and we did about 15 of them, and it worked out really well. We ended up selling it, got a nice long-term deal, and we're going national come the end of this month, actually early August, to coincide with Hall of Fame weekend. And one of our past guests was Andre Reed, who was terrific.
Yeah. So the Talk of Fame Sports Network, the radio network, goes up on August 1st, syndicated radio. I see you've got 65 radio stations. I hope that you're on the air here in Buffalo, because between you and Ron Borges from Boston and Rick Goslin from Dallas, you're right. I mean, these are three of the most qualified pro football observers of the last, you know, 20 or 30 years, I would think.
Well, Murph, I also want to make it clear, too, it's not just old guys talking about old guys. That's not the deal here. I mean,
no, that's our show. That's
guys.
What my show is.
Well, yeah, well, I'm like halfway there. But it's experienced people talking about Hall of Fame-relevant topics. And we dealt last year on the eve of the AFC Championship game with Brady versus Manning. They're both going to the Hall of Fame. So who do you want? And we had Ty Law in there, who's up for the Hall of Fame, and he talked about both of them. He played with Brady, obviously, played against him, too, played against Manning. He had some interesting observations, but we deal with players from the past, from the present, and players of the future. And so it's putting the Hall of Fame perspective on the things that are going on in football, and may have to do with the Hall of Fame player. It may have to do with somebody who's going to the Hall of Fame, maybe someone like an Andrew Luck who seems to be on that path. But we cover the gamut, and we also have a website, which is talkoffamenetwork.com, so your listeners can log on there and start reading.
Clark Judge, our guest, talking about the Pro Football Hall of Fame. He is an elector, one of 46 electors for the Pro Football Hall of Fame. Tell me your view of Andre Reed's election, Clark, and it's a fait accompli now. Many people thought it took too long, and obviously everybody wasn't convinced because it did take a few years. What did you think of Andre's candidacy, and what do you think now that he's definitely going in?
Well, I'm glad he's going in. I think it's certainly well warranted, and I was a supporter of his from the beginning. I understand what the problem was. There was a long queue of wide receivers, and you had at one time Chris Carter, Tim Brown, and Andre all sort of negating each other and canceling each other's votes out, and one couldn't get through. Finally, Chris Carter broke the logjam, and I thought when he got through, it's going to open the door for somebody else, and it turns out it opened the door for Andre Reed, and hallelujah. I mean, I think that was his fourth year as a finalist, and I'm so glad for him because you look at what he did in big games. Murphy, I don't need to tell you. I mean, you saw the guy. You've been around him. He was a big game player, and I'm not big on, you know, what numbers people have, big numbers or how many yards and that sort of thing. I want guys to perform well under pressure, and he did. And you looked at, I think they had 27 receptions in four Super Bowls. That's second only to Jerry Rice. I mean, he always produced in that game against Houston, three touchdowns in the second half. He was a big game performer. And on that team, you certainly had terrific players, but he was one of the best. Thurman belongs in, Jim Kelly, then you had Lofton. But boy, I was surprised I took Andre Reed as long as it did, but I'm glad he's in. And as I said, it couldn't happen to a better guy. I was glad to see he got in. And Aeneas Williams was another guy I thought was on the bubble. He got in, and I was really, really relieved to see that we finally got Ray Guy in there. A long time for Ray Guy. He waited a lot longer than most people, but deserved to be in there.
Andre, as you said, stuck in that long jam with Chris Carter and Tim Brown. Does it follow that it's Tim Brown's turn next in the Hall of Fame? But now Marvin Harrison's in the wings too, right?
Yeah, you would think it would, Murph, but what's going to happen is he may get lost in the shuffle. You got Marvin Harrison, who may jump to the head of the queue, and you go, well, when's Tim Brown's time coming? Well, now you got Torrey Holt and Isaac Bruce coming up.
Yeah.
And soon you're going to have Terrell Owens and Randy Moss, and he may start moving to the back of the line. To me, it's now or never. I think he's going to have a tough time getting in there. I mean, I'm in that room. I hear the discussions. He didn't make it to the 10 finalists last year. He was one of the 15 finalists, but he didn't make the cut to 10. And it's going to be tough for him. Now, you look at his numbers. He's got great numbers. What doesn't he have? Doesn't have what Andre Reed does. I mean, he only went to one Super Bowl. Andre Reed went to four, and four consecutive ones. If you're going to one, you'd like to see that guy win a championship. He's got terrific numbers across the board, but there's nothing really to me that's sort of defining about Tim Brown. And you look at the numbers that some of these receivers are posting now. I mean, in a few years, you're going to have, you know, 25 receivers with 1,000 or more catches. They're just prolific. And you know, good example is Wes Welker. I mean, look at Wes Welker's catches over the last 6 or 7 years. You go, he's a Hall of Famer, right? Well, actually, he's not. He's not. And I think you would say he has to pass the eye test, and he probably doesn't. Tim Brown's right there. But you mentioned Marvin Harrison. You give the choice of Marvin Harrison to Tim Brown. Honestly, I think I'm probably going with Marvin Harrison.
I agree with you. We're on the line with Clark Judge, longtime NFL writer. He's part of the Talk of Fame Sports Network, a syndicated radio show that debuts August 1st. You can read his work on talkoffamenetwork.com. We had this discussion on our show earlier tonight, Clark, mostly because of the fact that we were having you on as a guest. So Andre's going in. Is there anybody next in line from the Buffalo Bills? Or I guess here's the way to phrase it. Who do you think might be next for, you know, representing the Bills in the Pro Football Hall of Fame? We had a lot of suggestions here. Steve Tasker, Fred Smirlus,
right.
Kent Hall, maybe. I came up with Bill Polian. I think he might be the likeliest candidate representing the Bills and other teams to go in the Hall of Fame. But what do you think?
I'm with you, Murph. I think Polian is the most likely. They're going to make it easier for contributors to get in the future. It's just going to be a situation where contributors can get in there, whereas under their own auspices, whereas they haven't been in the past. They've been competing against players, and that's tough. I mean, and a lot of people believe they shouldn't be there in with the players. Well, now they're going to have a chance to go in on their own. I think it's going to make it easier for someone like Polian. Funny, we posed that question to Marv Levy when we had him on, and Marv Levy said, next guy's got to go in is Tasker. Tasker's got to go in. And you look at Ray Guy getting in is now going to open the door maybe for, you know, someone like a Morton Anderson. Morton Anderson was a finalist this year. That's good news for special teams players. But the problem is with Tasker is you're going to have people saying, well, you know, what did he do? He was a special teams standout. He was as good as it gets on special teams, but was he better than Brian Mitchell? I don't know the answer to that. Honestly, I think I'd rather have Tasker, but it's a close call. When you look at Kent Hall, I could make an argument for Kent Hall as well, Smirlus as well, but I think Polian is the guy just because you look at what he did there. Then he goes on to Carolina. Then he goes on to Indianapolis. It's a string of success. I think he's going to be a hard guy to keep out. I would love to see Tasker in. I'm a big special teams guy. I know what Bruce DeHaven thinks about him. I know what his teammates think about him. I like the idea of getting more special teams players in. It's a tough sell. It took Ray Guy over 25 years to get in as the best punter. So I don't think that bodes well for Steve Tasker. I think you're right. I think Polian's the next Buffalo Bill to get in.
And these are all great players, Clark. But when I look at Hall of Fame candidacies, I often turn to, you know, how many Pro Bowls were they elected to?
Right.
And I know that's not the perfect measure, but to me, it's a measure of someone who was regarded by their peers and by fans at the time as among the best, you know. And if you got a guy like Tasker, seven-time Pro Bowls, or Smirlis, five times in the Pro Bowl, that says something to me. Is that valid?
Yeah, no, that's valid. I think they look a little more carefully to see how many all-pro teams they were on.
Mm-hmm.
And also, as I mentioned with Tasker, the tough thing, Murph, is that it's special teams. And I'm as I said, I'm a special teams guy. I like punters. I like kickers. I like guys like Steve Tasker, Brian Mitchell, people like that. But there are people in that room and people who cover this game who think special teamers, what, they're on the field for, what, 10 plays or whatever? You know, I don't know how many it is. And they don't believe that they belong. And there was that argument being fought over Ray Guy. I mean, should Ray Guy be in because he punts, what, six times a game, five times a game, maybe less? And my point is, listen, he was the best at what he did. And if you don't like punters, you don't believe he should be in the Hall of Fame, then try playing a game without a punter. And when you look at Ray Guy, he was more than a punter. And the same thing with Tasker. I mean, this guy was a weapon. But that's a tough sell in that room. And especially when you have only five guys that can go in from the modern era. You have two seniors candidates, but you have five guys. Maybe he gets in as a seniors candidate years from now. I just think it's going to be very hard for him in the short term. Again, I'm going back to what you said about Polian and what we said about Polian. You look at his record of success. It wasn't just there. What he did with Buffalo was extraordinary. And then you look at he goes to Carolina. Whoa, boy, you know, in the second year, they're in the conference championship game. He builds them into a legitimate franchise overnight. Then he goes to Indianapolis and know what happens there. So he had a run of success at three different teams. That's going to be, I was surprised he didn't get farther along the process this year than he did. I think he will in the future, as I said, because it's going to make it, they're going to make it, the Hall is going to make it easier for contributors to get in.
Clark, on your radio show, which starts August 1st, the Talk of Fame Sports Network, are you going to talk about this year's football, like 2014 season, maybe within the framework of Hall of Fame?
Oh, sure. Absolutely. Absolutely, Murph. I'm glad you asked that because, as I said, it's not just about Hall of Fame. There's going to be a lot of reference to what's going on today. Maybe, as I said, through a Hall of Fame prism. But, you know, if we examine somebody like an Andrew Luck or an RG3, how do they compare to some of the great quarterbacks? What track are they on? What are the possible danger zones for these guys? Maybe getting some people who have been stars in the past, you know, a guy who's like a Jim Kelly or John Elway, somebody like that, to talk about what they see in these guys and maybe what the danger zones are and how they can avoid some of the traps that these guys overcame and became Hall of Fame players. But absolutely, we're going to talk about the present, as I said, probably quarterbacks of the future, too. I know what the schedule is. We're going to run the gamut. It's certainly going to be, you know, fairly heavy with Hall of Fame flavor. But again, looking at everything today, yesterday, and in the future through that prism.
Clark, are you going to make your way up to Pittsburgh? I know the Village Coal Tower is one of your favorite stops in preseason, right?
Not one of my favorites, Murph.
Your favorite.
It's my favorite. Yeah, when I went there last time, I sat at the bar and they had the counter and they said, "You want the usual?" And I said, "Yeah, blueberry pancakes." So I go there enough that they actually recognize me. The Coal Tower, I think, is one of the greatest. So I hope you get there. And if I do, I certainly will look for you.
All right, thanks, Clark. Great to talk with you. Say hello to Leslie. And she can come on the show whenever she wants to talk about Marv Levy.
She's sitting right next to me. I'll pass it along to her, Murph. Thanks.
Thanks, Clark. Clark Judge, who is a longtime NFL writer, and he is part, really, an all-star crew. Ron Borges from Boston and Rick Goslin from Dallas of the brand-new Talk of Fame Sports Network. They launch nationally on August 1st with a nationally syndicated radio show that's going to be on 65 radio stations around the country. And as Clark said, you can read their work as well on TalkOfFameNetwork.com. TalkOfFameNetwork.com. Our thanks to Clark Judge. We'll be back in a moment to wrap things up. The John Murphy Show presented by NOCO. From One Bills Drive on Buffalo Bills Radio.
This is the John Murphy Show on Buffalo Bills Radio.
Thanks again to Clark Judge. TalkOfFameNetwork.com is the website. And the Talk of Fame Network radio show begins August 1st. Clark Judge, thanks to him for joining us. Well, we didn't get to this yet tonight. This is very important. Buffalo Bills announcement today. Yancey's Fancies is now the official cheese of the Buffalo Bills. We deal with a lot of cheese on this show, and I expect that now we will we will some more. The Bills announcing today, this is for real, a partnership with Yancey's Fancy, New York's artisan cheese. Yancey's Fancy is now the official cheese of the Buffalo Bills. They'll become the presenting sponsor of Bills Friday on BuffaloBills.com. It says here they're going to be endorsement opportunities for John Murphy, the voice of the Bills. I'm all for that. Anytime we can bring a little cheese to the audience, we're good for that. Yancey's Fancy will incorporate their artisan cheese into various dishes served at Ralph Wilson Stadium's concession stands, suites, and clubs. Including artisan cheese, poutine, macaroni and cheese, sandwiches, wraps. Yancey's Fancy's, the official cheese of the Buffalo Bills as of today. Congratulations to them.
Poutine, is that the...
That's that Canadian thing
French
with the,
fries?
Yeah. I haven't sampled it yet. Okay. Don't know if I will. But that's good. That's good news. Want to remind you, for all your Bills information, this is especially critical in the weeks and months ahead as we move into training camp. BuffaloBills.com is the place to go. Chris Brown has a story up from a couple of hours ago about the roster moves today. We'll get to those in a second. There are pictures of the renovations of the stadium that were posted a couple of hours ago. Parts of our show are always up there at BuffaloBills.com. Camp Countdown is up there. Will CJ Spiller return to form? There's a lot of it. And we had a meeting today here at One Bills Drive about website content for the weeks ahead into training camp. We're going to be loaded with stuff. That's going to be the place to go. Our radio show and BuffaloBills.com for all of your training camp information if you can't get there. The roster moves we talked about. The Bills have signed a new linebacker, Stevenson Sylvester. You may have heard him on the radio show earlier tonight. You can pick that interview up on the website a little bit later on tonight. Sylvester, former fifth-round pick of the Pittsburgh Steelers in 2010, played at Utah, appeared in 50 games over 4 years with the Steelers. A linebacker who also played on special teams. To make room, the Bills released tight end Mike Cawson. And they made some other roster moves today, putting linebacker Randell Johnson and defensive back Leotis McKelvin on the physically unable to perform list. Linebacker Kiko Alonso on the active non-football injury list. Left tackle Cordy Glenn and defensive tackle Alan Branch placed on the active football injury list. Cordy Glenn, you remember, missed the final couple of days of minicamp, which with what was then described as an illness. It's not known if that's the same condition that put him on the non-football illness list today. Leotis McKelvin coming off hip surgery in the offseason. He did take part in the June minicamp, but was limited, and now Leotis McKelvin is on the active physically unable to perform list. McKelvin and Alan Branch and Johnson on active PUP. That means they can come off that list and start practicing as soon as they're cleared by the medical staff. We're back on the air tomorrow night. We're going to talk about quarterbacks and year two progression of quarterbacks with Gordon McGinnis of ProFootballFocus.com tomorrow night. Also, we'll talk about some new technology for the NFL. That's kind of interesting. Embedding images and advertising images in uniforms. All that coming up tomorrow night on the show. We want to thank our presenting sponsor, NOCO, family-owned, locally operated since 1933. Explore what NOCO can do for you at NOCO.com. Mike Jafari, our engineer, Jay Harris, the producer, and the Bills director of broadcasting is Jeff Matthews. We're on the air tomorrow at 7, the John Murphy Show presented by NOCO from One Bills Drive on Buffalo Bills Radio.